And welcome back to Success Made to Last. This is our Disruptive Leaders Under 40 series. I'm Rick Tokini. This show is brought to you by Edward Jones Financial Advisors and Blinkist.com. Our special guest today is Ruben Alvarez. He's a business visionary. For the last 8 years, he's dedicated himself to sales and marketing at a manufacturing company and recently launched his own venture, The Marketing Hunters, along with a great podcast called In for the Kill. Ruben Alvarez, welcome to our show.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on so very, very much. I can't say enough good things about you. I've actually been listening to your show, and I mean, just the conversations that I've had with you, I think that this is an amazing, phenomenal show, so thank you.
Well, thanks for that compliment. It's really great to get your perspective on this Leaders Under 40 show. We're going to ask you a variety of questions today, and let's start with a little soft one. Tell us about your own backstory leading up to the launch of The Marketing Hunters.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first career that I chose after, of course, you know, going into fast food industry, first job was Subway, and I decided very quickly that that wasn't for me. I decided that I wanted to be a chef. Absolutely wrong choice. I like food. I did not like cooking, right? And that's something that you realize very quick when you go into it and you're working long hours, you're working holidays, weekends, and you're making a lot less than everybody else, right? Or you're making probably the same comparable amount and you're working twice as much. So I got out of that and I decided that I wanted to get into a office space. So by age 2021, I can't remember when I started. I think it was like late 20s. My late, 20-year-old self. I got into an office position into a manufacturing company and I was going to be tech support. And funny enough, when I got into that position, I was making actually more than I was in 2 or 3 years that I took, like being a, you know, certified chef in the U.S. So from there, 3 months in, the owner took a liking to me and said, "Do you want to do sales?" And I was like, "Dude, I barely know the product. Like, why are you asking me to do sales?" Right? But I'm not going to turn down extra money. So I was like, "For sure. You know what? If you want me for sales, I love sales. I can do it." And he's like, "Yeah, you're going to be traveling around the country." They were very desperate for sales. Let's just start there, because to put a 20 to 21 year old in a position that he really barely even knows the product, and he's the face of your company, right? Because there was nobody else in sales at that time, is just baffling to me now that I look back at it. And just, I think I was at the right place, the right time. Like, I must have been blessed. Like, there was, I was overlooked by someone. You know what I mean? Like, it was just way too good of an opportunity to look back now and be like, I can't believe that actually happened. So fast forward, like, now, this actually happened last year. The company got sold to this big European conglomerate, like billion-dollar company. And I was working my way up. I worked up from sales to sales manager. We hired a crew and a team of more salespeople. And my idea was, like, I get good enough with the owner. One day he decides to retire or something, he leaves the business to me. You know, like, I'm having all these ideas in my head, visions and stuff. And ultimately he ends up selling the company. So that's, like, ripped away from me. And I'm like, what happens now? You know, like, what do I do? So what ends up happening is this new company comes in. They tell me everything's fine. You know, everything's the same. Everything's normal. I'm like, okay, well, the person who's telling me is a sales manager, and I'm like, and my title is sales manager. I'm like, something doesn't really match up here, right? Because I've never heard of a company having two sales managers and one of them being 50 years old and the other one being 28 years old, you know? So it wasn't adding up. I was like, something's going to happen. They're going to fire me. They're going to demote me. You know, it's going to take me forever to do what I wanted to do, and I'm not going to get paid for it anymore. So I ended up looking for other options, and I knew that I've been doing sales and marketing for, you know, nearly a decade now. So I'm like, what do I do? And I didn't put it all together at first. I was like, you know, first start selling something. You're good at selling. Like, you know, I went and I started buying shoes and flipping them. And I was like, I'm not making enough profit on this. It's a lot of work. There's got to be something else that I can make, you know, versus $15 a flip. I can make, you know, anywhere from $50 to $200 a flip, right? So then I started doing furniture. And then finally I get a coach, and the coach tells me, what is your commission at your regular job? And I'm like, I don't know, it's like 50, because I was all excited. I was like, it's $50, and I sold 60 of them. I'm gonna make some good money this next month, right? I'm gonna make like $3,000. He's like, Ruben, I don't mean to say this in a bad way, but are you dumb? I'm like, why? You know? And he's like, well, because if you sold 60 of anything for anyone, you're a damn good salesman. If you are able to sell 60 of something that gives you $1,000 commission, how much would you make? And it just like did a light bulb in that moment. I was like, I am dumb. You know, I'm all excited for $50 commissions. So eventually he told me to start like a social media company just for the tax purposes. I ended up taking it further, and the Marketing Hunters was born from that. And now it's an actual full blown marketing agency where it's not like, you know, like him, he wanted me just to like do social media for people that are older and kind of like monetize it that way. Me and my wife is a graphic designer by trade. So we have two other employees, and the Marketing Hunters is a full blown marketing agency that understands how to brand yourself correctly and position yourself in the market correctly so that way you actually do generate more sales and brand awareness, not just, I'm going to post for you on social media Monday through Friday, so you're there.
That's a good point. Love your origin story. And from what you said, sounds like you wanted to become a certified chef. You had a few dreams that were ripped away from you. And inside your description, you make paranoia sound like it's a good thing. Is it?
To a certain extent, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you caught that from me just by talking, but I am anxious, right? Like to me, one of the biggest things, especially during COVID right now, I'm like, okay, I have a pool. Let's round, right? Like I have a pool of 10 customers. If one of them drops, I still have to pay my employees. Like I have to take care of them. So I'm always thinking like, how can I get the next one so that if one drops? And what ended up happening is I've been thinking like that since COVID started. And we've gained like 6 or 7 new customers, but I'm still having that same mentality, you know? So is paranoia good in a certain sense? It may helps you grow and it makes it so that way you're always protected. But I think it does cause a lot of anxiety that's not always needed.
Right. And it burns some brain cells sometimes gives one palpitation. So you're in this great marketing leadership role with, and I love the fact that you run a business with your wife. That probably will, I would predict, strengthen your marriage. And here you are going after clients. The consumer today, as you know, Ruben, is fast moving, and following their journey is difficult. And then here comes the pandemic that takes consumers into their house, working into their home. How has your marketing firm adapted considering the pandemic?
So one of the first things that we had to do is and this came like the first month of business, I noticed that everybody's doing the same thing. And the problem is that because everybody's doing the same thing, everybody's at home, everybody's like trying to start a business, running ads, promoting themselves, there is a need for people to have to differentiate themselves right now more than ever, because I don't know if you get this, especially on social media, there's a lot of people sending DMs pretending to introduce themselves only to pitch you right like the next second after. So if you're trying to meet new people, you have all these like, okay, so how do I find my ideal customer, Ruben? I don't want to spend money for ads because, you know, I'm barely starting my business. What can we do? You know, before it was like, okay, well, let's go and just meet people organically, right? That is very difficult to do because of those people that we just mentioned that go into people's messengers who try to befriend people only to pitch them and sell them. So now everybody has red flags up. So it's like, how do you become different than that person, right? And that's how we really had to adapt our same methods to help customers were not as effective anymore. And most people are thinking like, oh, well, maybe there's just, you know, the customer isn't buying as much. The customer is actually buying more now. That's the reality of it, right? Like we think there's less money to go around, but the truth is that Amazon, Walmart, all these other places are actually benefiting from this because people are home. They're buying more stuff right now. So how do you actually benefit from that and make sure that it doesn't go to like the big, you know, like Amazon's and stuff, and it actually helps small businesses and people who can actually use it?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, the game has changed. It's not that the consumers are purchasing less. It's just being able to get it to them where they are on their own terms. So that's the big switch up. So I can tell in the first 10 minutes of this show that you are a storyteller. Somebody in your life has coached you and mentored you to be a great storyteller. Tell us about your favorite mentors in life.
My favorite mentor. So it's fun. Before we get into my mentor, I don't think I actually had anybody who showed me how to tell stories. I think I'd say this in mostly every time that I talk, but I believe that the one thing that I did learn, and it's because my father wasn't in my life and I had my mom who, you know, had to work constantly, but I had to kind of fend for myself growing up. I learned how to communicate with other people based on their languages. That way, you know, I didn't get into trouble. Like, I wanted to become people's friends because I never wanted drama. Cause then I was like, what am I going to do? Have my mom come over here and, you know, have to fight this battle for me. Like, I didn't want that, you know? So, I think that the stories kind of came from that, but what ended up helping me a lot with like mentorship is, I actually, I hate to admit this because I barely heard that you're supposed to stop living free where you should, you know, be paying. And I've been living free a lot off of mentors. And it wasn't until recently that I ended up, you know, paying the mentors because they are actually giving me a service. Like, I have to give that back at some point, you know? But the people who helped me originally a lot through their audiobooks, through YouTube, to all, through like all that stuff was Grant Cardone, Eric Thomas. And then there was a Les Brown. He was the original one. Les Brown was the first one that I ever heard that like truly changed my life. As far as like mentors that I have had in my life that I've paid for, the first one that, you know, we talked about was, Daniel, and he was a, what are they called? The licensees of like Grant Cardone. So, he was the one that pushed me and he would call me out on stuff, which, I think that you have to know who your client is, right? Like, not everybody wants to be called out. But he would, I would tell him about a certain situation. I'm like, I want to meet this person. Actually, I can tell this story. It was Tim Grover. I wanted to meet Tim Grover. And I told him that I was going to, what's it called? I was going to this like lunch thing and I sent him a thing, through Instagram. And I was waiting for his response. He's like, do you want to call him? And I'm like, what? And he's like, do you want to call him? And I was like, what do you mean? Do I want to call him? Like, I'm like super nervous, right? Like, I'm barely starting off. I don't know these big people before. I was the biggest person in my company. I'm like, what do you mean I want to call him? And he's like, I have his number. He's like, you want to call him or not? And I'm like, and I'm like, I just can't, you know, say yes. And he's like, look, if you're afraid. And I was like, oh my God, he did not say I'm afraid, right? So I'm like, give me his number then. But he would do little things like that that would really push me. And once I saw that, you know, I made those calls, I did those things, he didn't do them for me. He would always say, like, I got the resources, but you're going to do it, you know? Once I started doing that, it gave me the confidence to say, like, you know, I can do my own business, I can get my own customers, I can, you know, face the problem if it comes up. So he ended up pushing me to the next level. I mean, if we're talking, like, mentorships, what they should do for you, I mean, they should really stretch you out. Yeah. They should break that part of that wall that you hit and then move you to the next step of life.
There you go. Did you find out that Tim puts his pants on just like you and I do?
I did. I actually, I ended up meeting with him and I went to that thing and I met all these like networks of people. His event has actually led to more of my success than any other thing that I've done so far.
Wow. Give our listeners a little crumbs of that. Just maybe one tip that you've applied from Tim that's made a difference in the Marketing Hunters.
So from him, I don't know if anybody's read his book, Relentless, part that talks about like the dark side, I believe is what it is. It's been a while since I've read it. But he says that most of these people, they end up embracing their dark side. And I don't know if I read it different or not, but when I read that and when I met all the people, because that lunch thing that he did where we met, there was like an MMA fighter, there was a professional pool player, there was the USA Strongest Woman. The dark side is basically like we all have these bad tendencies, and what you do instead of like going away from them, you embrace them, but you turn them into something else. So while most people might say like I have an addiction, right? Like I watch too much TV. I'm on social media too much. Like that was my problem. I was on social media way too long. Right. So I'm like, well, yeah, that's who I am. And if I'm struggling with it so much, I might as well just monetize it now. Right. And benefit my family instead of just keep consuming and like drowning myself in it. So if there's one thing that you can learn from like Tim Grover, it's find out what your bad thing is and learn to repurpose it so that way it doesn't control it. Like it's still, you're still going to have that issue, but you're controlling the issue now, not the other way around. For me, it was social media. It was controlling, draining my time. Now I am on social media making money, which benefits me and my family. I learned to flip the switch on that.
Very good. I like that. Okay, so we're talking with Ruben Alvarez of the Marketing Hunters, and we hope that you will all join him on his podcast, In for the Kill. There's two key words there, hunters and kill. why did you focus the titles of your two big IPs, intellectual properties, on hunting and killing?
You're the first person that has made that distinction. You know that? There actually is a very, very close tie. So the Marketing Hunters, the one thing that we didn't want to do as marketing people, we started with the vision, me and my wife, and we're like, what actually gives somebody like a really, really good understanding of what we do by hearing our name and not our website and nothing else? If they just say, my company name is the Marketing Hunters, they go, wow, like we understand it right away, right? So we were going through all these names and we finally came up with the Marketing Hunters. One of my strategies was to have the Marketing Hunters grow through a hashtag, because that's what, you know, furthers the vision. Like, people use a hashtag and then it kind of comes back to you. So we were going through all these hashtags and then finally I was like, ooh, hashtag In for the Kill because of Marketing Hunters. You're a hunter, you're in for the kill, blah, blah, right? Like, it made sense. And like 2 hours passed by and I'm like, that's way too big for a marketing company. Like, that is way too big. We could turn this into anything. We could make this into like an actual like lifestyle. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. The In for the Kill stemmed from the Marketing Hunters, but it stands on its own now. And I don't cross them unless I have to. And that's how that came to be. It was just meant to be like Marketing Hunters, hunt down your rivals, hunt down your goals, hunt down everything. And then In for the Kill is like ambition, like you're the modern day hunter. You go after what you want. You don't eat. If you don't hunt, you don't eat, type of thing.
I like that implicit sense of urgency. If you don't eat, if you don't kill, you don't eat. And I think that that's something that distinguishes you, Ruben, from so many other guests that we've had on the show, is that it seems like you've got a little bit larger fire in the belly than others. And I don't think it's paranoia. I think it's about being tuned in to what you need to do to grow your business and grow your enterprise. Is there a connection between growth of your business and your own personal happiness?
Yes, I actually learned that about myself. So I love working. And that is something that fulfills me, is like I have a list of, it could be anywhere from 20 to 40 things every day, right? And I cross off every single one of them. And as I'm crossing them off, I feel good about myself. If I do a post, like let's say on social media, and my average is like, I don't know, I reach 100 people. And then I see that I do the same, you know, like I do the same thing, I post at the same time, and it reaches 120 people, I get excited because I'm like, what happened with those extra 20 people? Why did that happen? Why is there growth, right? So like, I know that about me, that to me, and I know that not everybody's the same way, but to me, the ability to see physical growth in things is what actually makes me very happy, and the work that goes with it.
That is great. In for the Kill, I think, as a podcast, is a really great name, but I believe that the best part of it is that the listeners will learn to become the best version of themselves. And I want to close today's show by you giving some advice to our listening audience. And we've got a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this show, a lot of people that own franchises. And I swear to you, Ruben, I think a lot of people right now running their own businesses are on the verge of shutting it down. And in the pre-show, I asked you what was one of the most interesting questions you've ever heard. And it really aligns with one of our signature questions. So here you go. I want you to give a State of the Union address for the next 2 minutes to business owners out there that are struggling. And if you had 10 days, not 30, 10 days to save your business, what would you do?
So in this scenario, I'm going to say you have some capital and you're going to be able to spend it, right? The first thing is I would fix my message, because if your message is not strong enough to have people actually believe in it, then that's the reason that they're not buying, right? So I would fix that, because what you're going to do next is what's really important. You're going to run ads, and then you're going to make a lot of apparel. Or it doesn't have to be apparel. It has to be like, you know, you could do backpacks, you could do, but really, really nice quality things. I know that you're struggling, right? I know that you're struggling, your business might go under. But the thing is that the reason that it's going to go under is because people don't believe in your business. So this is the time to show people that you believe in them. And the one thing that I've noticed more than anything else is that most people, you need word to mouth referrals, right? That's where like the gold is, like, because if I tell my friend that you are good, they don't really question anything else. They just go and they're like, Ruben said, you know, that you were good. Let me find out for myself now. But they're not going to beat you up on price or a lot of other stuff because you've already been recommended. The truth is that most people give somebody else a recommendation of someone else in person. I mean, that's maybe gone down since COVID. But before that, you'd be like, okay, you know, well, who should I go for my nails or something like that? Or you just went to go get your nails and you're like, look, I just got my nails done and I went to this person. So the thing is that how do you get somebody to endorse you or remember to endorse you in the moment that they're with somebody else? And the best way to do that is through something that you give them. So like for me, I made, I think they cost me like $14 or $15, these really, really nice soft bound leather journals, right? That I gave to, I think, like 20 people. They take them to work every single day. And they use them every single day. And when people ask them, what is that? They're talking about me.
Mm-hmm. It's a reflection of you.
Yeah. They're endorsing you. And what's even better than that, because I know that that's a good one, you know, like to have people take stuff into work. But what's even better than that is if you give them apparel, like a shirt or a hat, because they actually are saying, look at who I am, this brand that is my friends, I am choosing to make it part of who I am. So they're almost like endorsing you to run for like Senate type of thing. That's why actually, no, I'm not going to get political on this one. Never mind. I was going to say, there's some very popular hats, and that's why it was very, very good that they made those hats, because it was an official endorsement.
Well, that's right. Hey, Ruben, we're going to wrap up this show. And want to make sure that we point our listeners to your agency and podcast. Where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is on all major platforms. They can do Google, they can do Amazon. We just got on Apple and Spotify. If they want to contact me, it's super easy. It's my name, Ruben Alvarez, RUBNAlvarez.com. And then if they want to learn about the Marketing Hunters, it's themarketinghunters.com.
Perfect. Well, we need to definitely have you on again. And really appreciated your perspective. Thanks for being on our show today, Ruben.
Thank you, Rick.
That was Ruben Alvarez. We appreciate him being on our Leaders Under 40. That's Disruptive Leaders Under 40. And to find out more information on Ruben, again, you can go to RubenAlvarez.com. That's RubenAlvarez.com. And thanks again to our sponsors that continue to support this show, Edward Jones Financial Advisors, and you can go to serban.maracini@edwardjones.com today to find out more about how to direct your financial net worth, and also Blinkist.com, where you can read books, listen to books in 15 minutes or less. It is accelerated learning that you will really enjoy. I'm Rick Tocchini. Thanks for joining on this show. As we always say, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Maracini, by emailing him at serban.maracine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.